The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, we heard yesterday on the programme about the European Council President having confidence in the Irish security services ahead of hosting the EU presidency next year. But a new report from the Institute of International and European Affairs and Deloitte is today warning that Ireland's security environment is at its most dangerous point in recent history. One scenario examined by the report is an attack on Dublin Port, and the results would not be pretty. Food stocks could start disappearing within 3 days. That's according to some company bosses, who also say that intelligence services from Russia, China and India have tried to place operatives in their organisations. Cathal Berry is a former member of the Defence Forces and he joins me now. Cathal, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, an overview of this study exposing our vulnerabilities. It makes for frightening reading.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's being currently launched as we speak in Collins Barracks. Minister Thomas Byrne is giving the keynote address. And it's a report called Secure Together, basically. And what the IIEA did through Deloitte as well is they got a lot of tech people, they got a lot of people from industry, from various energy sectors to input into this report. So it's not exclusively from the military and security type domain type people. It's much more broader from a societal resilience point of view.
Now, one of the things they focus on is the vulnerability of Dublin Port, that if something happened to disrupt Dublin Port, the consequences would be felt fairly immediately. Now, you might think this is a bit fanciful, but when you think what happened to Holyhead when one of the berths was hit by a ship during a storm and how disruptive that was, imagine what a major disruption to Dublin Port would cause.
Absolutely. So Dublin Port is one of Ireland's most strategic locations. Ireland does not have direct road or rail links with the European Union. So we're relying exclusively on our airports and our seaports for trade and for passengers to move safely. Navy intelligence would have war-gamed this scenario for the last number of years, really. And as it was described to me, that if something happened to Dublin Port, that it would have to close, it would be the equivalent of Ireland having a cardiac arrest. And that's how significant it would be. So about two-thirds of all Ireland's maritime trade travels through Dublin Port. And yes, you could, in theory, reroute some to Rosslare and to Cork and maybe Shannon Fines, but those ports don't have the same capacity. So we know that the channel, the mouth of the channel there at Dublin Port, it's only about 100 metres wide. So if you were to mine that with sea mines, or if you were to just scuttle a ship there, you could cause a major blockage that could block the port for weeks or even months.
Now, staying in the maritime environment, the fact that below our waters we have gas pipelines, we have electricity interconnectors, we have data fibre optic facilities running right across the Atlantic and into Ireland and around Ireland. I mean, that is an obvious area of vulnerability and we've been talking about that already. But the consequences for not just Ireland, but for the world and its interconnectivity are enormous.
Absolutely. So from Ireland's point of view, perhaps our two most strategic pipelines are the two natural gas pipelines from Moffat and Scotland. So they come down from Scotland, they skirt near the Isle of Man and they land just north of Dublin. And if those pipelines were to be sabotaged or damaged in any way, we would almost have no natural gas here in the pipes here in Ireland. We have about 8 hours supply left in the pipes. There's a small bit of gas still in the Corrib gas field in Mayo, but that's running out in the next few years. And as it was described to me, if something happened to those two pipes coming from Scotland, Ireland would be back to burning furniture to try and stay warm. So that's how significant those pipelines are. More importantly, from an international perspective, are the fibre optic digital cables that crisscross across the Atlantic and over to the UK as well. And that's where digital gold, if you want to describe it as that, passes along these arteries. And so we have data centres here in Ireland, and these cables are used to communicate all that data to various countries around the world. So again, another major catastrophic event if something were to happen to those cables.
Now, people might say, in terms of burning the furniture, we don't have to do that. We have got Bord na Mona there who could maybe start harvesting peat again. Not easy to start that operation up once you've stood it down, which we have. And secondly, the modern house doesn't have a fireplace.
Correct. Again, we're all about diversity now, you know, but unfortunately, the modern house is the opposite of diversity, really. We have very, very sophisticated heating systems. But again, anything sophisticated is very, very very vulnerable, and not being able to burn solid fuel in extremis is a bit of a deficiency. That's the way I would regard it anyway. And it's a pity that that has been brought in from an energy security point of view. I can totally understand the logic from an environmental point of view, but it would be good to have that option at least that we could use if necessary.
And of course, many of these A-rated houses have sophisticated control systems for air changes and all the rest of it, which require electricity. So if you lose your connection to the grid, or if we can't generate enough electricity, we're in big trouble. Which brings us to maybe the provision of solar on the roof. It's probably quite vital that every household have access to that, because if we're depending on wind, and we know building more onshore wind farms is becoming more problematic, building offshore leaves us vulnerable to those undersea connectors being sabotaged.
Yeah, absolutely. So that rooftop revolution, as you describe, is really, really important. If you're driving around Ireland at the moment, you can see there's quite a lot of solar panels up there, but obviously there's a lot of houses that obviously can't afford that capability. But going back to natural gas, so about 60% of Ireland's energy needs comes from natural gas. So it's a bridging fuel. So when the sun doesn't shine, when the wind doesn't blow, we absolutely need natural gas, and even for energy generation. So a lot of our electricity plants are actually powered by natural gas, and they change that natural gas into electricity that comes into our homes.
Now, we can talk about the hybrid warfare, which some people might think is in our future, but it's not, because companies in Ireland have already been targeted. According to this report, a huge number of companies, 90% of Irish companies, had suffered financial loss or operational disruption due to cyber attacks. Not all Russia, China, India, whatever. They could be just bad actors who are criminals. But still, it exposes a massive vulnerability right throughout the business sector.
Yeah, hugely. And again, it's like any time you feel scammed, you know, it's underreported, this issue, because nobody wants to advertise the fact that their computer firewall systems are not up to date. So it's a huge issue. In fairness to the Defence Forces, they've established a new cyber command that's in a very embryonic stage at the moment. There's only a handful of people in there. But the traditional domains of land, sea and air have now been expanded into cyberspace also, and outer space as well. And we saw the importance of the use of satellites in trying to triangulate the position of a vessel of interest in the Irish Sea only last week as well. So from a cyber perspective, it's very important that the state has the tools and has the people in place to protect the country as best as possible.
Now, the question of increased defence expenditure and to try to keep the island safe from all of these threats, often you'll have people in the Dáil Chamber piping up, this is all about joining NATO. And the document points out that the two issues should be absolutely separate. The idea of a militarily neutral country being able to defend itself is not about NATO, or should not be about NATO. It is about our own self-defence.
Correct. So we're not really a neutral country at all. As it was described by Brendan Howland in the Dáil, I heard him a few years back, that we're actually a neutered country. So we're actually defenceless. And being defenceless is the polar opposite to being neutral. It's the antithesis of being neutral. Neutrality is about being self-sufficient. Self-sufficient in terms of food, in terms of energy, and in terms of defence. We shouldn't require the assistance of other countries to come in and do basic functions. You saw last week that there had to be Portuguese, French and police from the PSNI helping secure Dublin from a drone perspective. And that's not good enough. The epicentre of our democracy had to be protected by international people. That's not the way to do business.
Now, some of the recommendations that Ireland should use the new EU defence investment funds to provide opportunities to Irish dual use, both civilian and military, to use technologies like cybersecurity, robotics, AI, and access to satellite information, and that if they're dual use, then it's okay for us to remain militarily neutral while accessing these facilities.
Yes, so absolutely, for sure. So the defence technology sector in any country, but in particularly a neutral country, is hugely important. It's almost an extension of their defence capability, really. And if you look back to the former neutral countries of Finland and Sweden, they had pride in their defence technology sector. It was almost an expression of the neutrality. They didn't need to buy any weapons or equipment from abroad. Now, there is a fledgling defence technology sector here in this jurisdiction. It's very advanced in Belfast, actually, but in this jurisdiction, there's there's a company in Cork that makes some boats, some very, very fast boats. We have a lot of robotics companies making bomb disposal equipment as well. And we have Timony, of course, in Meath, which makes suspension devices for vehicles. So there is a small defence technology company sector here in this country, but it needs to be supported from an IDEA and from an enterprise.
The other recommendation is the plans to introduce a new state system for security clearances needs to be expedited, so we know where people are coming from, what their provenance is, and so on. We don't necessarily want to see their social media, which we'll be talking about later on in the programme. Finally, Cottle, I should ask you about that dark vessel in the Irish Sea, which was a vessel trying to hide, basically, by having no transponders, no lights or anything like that. But it has been spotted, bigger than a trawler, but smaller than maybe an oil tanker or something like that. And, of course, the suspicion is this was the vessel that was powering those drones.
Correct. So there's about three or four of those types of vessels. Vessels of interest is the category. And they were about 19 nautical miles east of Dublin, so pretty much in the centre of the Irish Sea. And this disappeared in around the same time as the four or five drones appeared around the Irish naval vessel. So again, a possibility in a particular line of inquiry is that there might have been a 20-foot container with a retractable roof on this ship. You could obviously retract the roof, drones could take off, do whatever it wants to do, and the drones could come back and land. So this just shows the nature of this shadow fleet with transponders turning off and how we haven't resourced our naval service at all. I mean, the WB Yeats has no radar, it has no sonar, even the weapon systems on board are 50 years old. They were deliberately purchased secondhand to save money. So all this underinvestment, chronic underinvestment in our defence forces are really coming home to roost now, and it's calling into question our hosting of the EU presidency next year.
Cathal Berry, former member of the Defence Forces. Cathal, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.